everybody. It's me, Katie K9, and it's Sunday, first part in May, April. I have no idea where it went. It just kind of went poof, and it was gone. I went to write the date down on my timesheet, and I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious, it's May 2nd. It's like, holy buckus, unreal. So welcome. I thank you for tuning me in. I remember this is 19 years. Isn't that something? It's hard to believe. And anyway, so hopefully you got some great questions for me. It's just me, myself, and I. Oh, and Hope, too.
Hello.
So, and Hope, I ran in. I was getting some photos at Wally World, and I had a gal. I don't know how people, didn't talk, nothing. And I had this gal come up. She says, hi, Katie K9. I listen to you every Sunday. And, of course, I didn't ask her name. I was focusing. I was getting ready, you know, for the kids. Alaskans have landed.
They have landed.
And,
yes.
Boy, having four kids and two of them where you don't have to chase down, you know, I mean, it's pretty good, you know, and because, you know, seven, 5, 2, and 5 months. Okay.
Okay.
But anyway, and oh my goodness gracious. I'm lack of sleep already. But anyway,
that's why we need callers today to keep you awake.
You keep me awake. Okay, give me your questions. And then, but anyway, so this gal comes up and she says, hi, Katie K9. I'm the one that helps Hope. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, at first, like I said, I was concentrating on running these pictures that I wanted to get made.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, oh Hope. Okay. Oh, you're her guru for answers. Ooh. But I apologize. I didn't get her name. And so, you know, if you're listening, hopefully you are, you can call in and tell Hope your name.
Yes,
so then
please
we can give you a name. Because like I say, I just like, oh, darn. I was just so busy, didn't even think about it. So. But yeah, so the house is very busy. Did steak on the grill last night.
Ooh,
I must admit, I have mastered steak on the grill. I used to like my meat well done. I don't like it when it still moves. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Some people, it's like over one flip on one side, one flip on the other side.
Pink.
Yeah, and anyway, and so I finally learned how not to mess it up. And so, and I cook with charcoal.
Okay.
I love the taste of charcoal grill. And so I did have a gas one. And to me, it was just like having an oven outside.
Sure, right.
I tried different, you know, chips and stuff like that to give it flavor. I had no luck. Mm. And so, and I did like the convenience. You just turn on the switch, tink, and it's right there. Didn't have to wait. But anyway, but I love me my charcoal. So
nice.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. So yeah, we just had salad. I was going to make potatoes, but then, you know, I said, you know what? Everybody's tired. You're hungry, but you're not really hungry. And so it's just like, we're just doing steak and a salad. And that's what we did. And everybody walked away from the table fine. And it was a beautiful day yesterday.
Oh my gosh.
What
I
did
know.
You, I wound up shorts for the first time this year.
I wore shorts. Yep. Yes.
Yep. So what did you do to make yesterday?
Well,
show?
I was here doing my other shows.
Oh, that's right. That's
but,
right.
But that's okay. You know, I get done around like 1.
Yep. And so then you got time to enjoy.
Then I went out. I went for a nice walk.
Oh,
and
nice.
And it was just, yeah, I loved the heat, just the sun. And yeah, it was beautiful.
Well, the kids went over to other grandma and grandpa's. And so while they were gone, I filled up the kiddie pools.
Oh,
and
nice.
Then I found giant squirt guns.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so when they got home, they were like, bring it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had a good time with that. And then we ate and then everybody crashed. Well, the kids crashed. we'll see. Hollis, they're all sitting watching a movie and all of a sudden you can see their eyes and their head bobbing. And then Will probably went out about 7:30.
Okay.
And Hollis is about 8:15. So... And then the other two were still kind of awake.
Sounds like a good
and
day.
Grandma was ready to go to sleep at 2. But we did, and we managed. We muddled through it. So hopefully you got questions. 651-641-1071. 651-641-1071. And folks, you know, a lot of you guys are trying to do things natural as far as, you know, whatever chemical, not putting any chemicals on or in your dogs that you would not put honor in yourself. Which I'm so proud of you because why should we do that? Just because you're scared. Well, like Cassandra picked off 2 ticks off of one and another tick off another one. Okay. And yesterday, and you know, Alaska doesn't have ticks.
Right.
But she has those, they have those no-see-ums, these bugs that just get in everything.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's why they call them no-see-ums. They my minute gnat is what I would call it.
Okay.
But anyway, and so, but you know, right away you want to crack out the chemicals, like, oh, no, no, no. It's like, hey, just settle down. You know, and so you remember when you come in, now they like the long or the tall dead grass the most.
The ticks do?
Yes.
Okay.
And warm days, cool nights. And I told Cassandra that last night, that is warm days, warm nights is a tick haven. And so I told Cassandra, check for ticks, because today's going to be an awesome tick day. Well, not awesome, yucky day for ticks. And by Jiminy, yeah, we didn't find anything else on any of us kids, but us adults, but the kids were running in the grass. So just remember tall, dead grass, or where dead grass is, kind of a little bit longy, that's where the ticks are going to be, all right? And they love warm morning days and cool nights. And so then once it becomes warm and warm, then they start backing off quite a bit. And so, you can use amber tick collars for the dogs. Go to ambertickcollar.com. And then you can try diatomaceous earth food grade in a baby sock, zip tie it. And you just do a light tap on the back of the neck and shoulder blades, a light tap where the butt and the tail come together, a light tap on the chest. And if you do go into tall grass areas because you're going there, then just do one tap on each leg. But you want the food grade diatomaceous earth. Don't breathe the dust. That's hard in your lungs. It wackadoos your lungs. So don't breathe the dust as you're filling to either wear a, well, you're wearing a mask. Just use your mask. And anyway, but once the dust settles, everything's all just fine. And that's what I deworm the cats with and the horse with, is diatomaceous earth, food grade. Make sure it's food grade. And you can put it on cats, you can put it on dogs, put it on yourself. You remember a bandana with either lemongrass oil or a dot of eucalyptus oil. Put it in a Ziploc bag. You decide which one you want. And then anytime you're going to go out and about, put it around the dog's neck. And then when you come home, wait about an hour, take it off, put it back in the Ziploc bag. And then check for ticks, because usually the ticks start moving once you come in. They gravitate to the head and to the ears and the eyes, because that's where the skin is the thinnest. And so... So you can take a lint roller and you can run that over the dog. And a lot of times that'll, you know, grab some ticks, you know, the ones that have the tape on it. And then another thing that works is a flea comb that will catch either snake, deer ticks also. And so try to catch them as they're gravitating, looking for the food, and before they get it in. And the old wives' tale where you pick the tick and the head is left in there. Folks, that's kind of an old wives' tale. So just, you know, pick the tick. If it does, it start embedding, you'll be fine. And then you can put take a Q-tip and put it a little bit of 3% hydrogen peroxide on it, and that will bubble out. And then also put extra virgin coconut oil that has antiseptic, you know, type things. And so anyway, you can tell I'm not in the medical field. Oh, well, it is what it is. But anyway, so yeah, so that's what you could do for ticks. But there again, let's say you're doing supplements, you're doing great, you know, food, you're trying not to do any of the chemicals, hopefully none of the chemicals. And then the neat thing when you try to do all the natural stuff, you can go to mytalk1071.com and it has a link to my Katie Canine web page. Click on radio show topics and then scroll down, and that's where all the natural ways of doing flea and tick, some of the ones that I'm doing. I know there's sure there's more, but those are the ones that, you know, were. And the neat thing about the natural is that you can use one or all of them, because there's no chemicals involved, so you don't have to worry about cross-contamination as far as the health and such like
right.
that.
Yeah.
But so the thing is, now I lost my train of thought where I was going with this. Where was I going? Now we did that. Oh, is that, let's say you do everything on yourself and in your home environment, but then you have chemicals all over your lawn. Okay, you're shooting yourself in the foot here. You're walking through it. You're breathing it. And the dog's living in it. He comes in and licks his paws. Remember, there's a 70% chance if you use lawn chemicals that your dog is going to get some sort of lymphoma. 70% chance. But now I also think about, what about kids that are out and playing with it?
Yeah.
You know, that maybe as, you know, they get bad case of the allergies, or, you know, there's going to be a breakdown to the system somehow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So do think of it now before you really get into it. Call Lunseth, Lunsceth Organic Lawn.com. Lunseth Organic Lawns by Lunseth. There you go. I knew that was wrong. Organic Lawns by Lunseth.com. And I think there's a link on my talk at 107.1 also, because they do advertise on us.
I wish I could remember where I was walking, because I saw their sign on a lawn or someone's lawn. So I hope that means they're using them.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Lawn sets?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Good, good, good. And then those of you, I mentioned this last week too, those of you that live in associations, can you please call Shay at Lawn Seth? And I know she's got some documentation as far as, you know, the 70% possible of some kind of lymphoma. And then to try to get the associations, instead of spraying all these chemicals, that to get go organic. I just can't, you know, folks, I'm sorry. Health to me is a lot more better than and having, you know, right now the dandelions are. My poppy field is coming in very well. It's very yellow. But I don't have no problem with that. And then, of course, the kids won. And, you know, I got the traditional dandelion bouquet.
Oh, cute.
Of course.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But, you know, even when you get them in water, they close for the night. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know.
They close for the night.
Okay.
If you look at a lawn at night, all the dandelions close up. And then in the morning, they reopened again. Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
Yeah, I was reminded that as my wife came out this morning and the dandelions were there. they look like they died. And then all of a sudden, I looked again and now they're awake. It's pretty cool. Okay, give me a holler. 651-641-1071. 651-641-1071. Okay, if an owl has yellow eyes, when does it hunt for food? If an owl has dark brown or black eyes, when does it hunt for food? And what about red or orange eyes? So we'll answer that question that everybody wants to know the answer to. We'll be back. Thank you for tuning in to the Katie K9 Show. I greatly appreciate it. The Alaskans have landed. Let the house be on edge for a whole month. Okay. An owl has yellow eyes. When does it hunt for its food? Do you have any idea what time of day?
I'm going to say, I don't know, early in the morning.
Well, during the day. Okay. During the day, the ones with yellow eyes. Owls with dark brown or black eyes hunt
at night. Because yes. I had our friend Jody call in and help me with that part.
Jody. Yeah, but that's who that stopped me at Walmart and said hi. Yes. And then she was like, anyway, so she called in and let us know the name.
Jody. About the dark eye colored one. And then.
There you go. So. Okay. Boy, Jody, she's like a dictionary. She must do a lot of trivias or whatever. She says, or Google it, but whatever. That's so nice.
I appreciate somebody, the help.
Such an interactive, yes.
Yes.
Okay, owls with yellow eyes, owls with red or orange eyes hunt at?
I don't know.
Twilight.
Okay.
Okay. And owls with yellow eyes like to catch their food during the day.
That's interesting because I thought this was a joke. Yeah, I thought maybe this is a riddle. So Jody and I had a good laugh because I'm like, there's so many colors. Is this like a legit facts?
Yeah. And you know the thing is that now that I think about it, I get the volunteer magazine that State of Minnesota puts out, and they always have articles, you know, about a lot of the stuff. You know, owls and sandhill cranes, birds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing pictures of the different colored eyes.
Interesting.
Look at the stuff you can learn with here at the show. Isn't that something? Not just dog stuff, just overall stuff.
Overall.
There you go. Okay. Okay, who's up?
Yes, we have Sue, and she has a puppy, and the puppy keeps waking her up in the middle of the night.
All right. Hey, Sue, how you doing?
I'm exhausted. How are you?
How old is this? I am too, and I've only had the grandkids one night. But anyway, so what kind of pup?
He's a standard poodle, and he is 14 weeks old, and I've had him for 5 weeks.
Okay. Now, you got him in a kennel?
He is in a kennel.
Okay, where's the kennel?
He's kenneled in my bedroom along with my other dog, who is sleeping outside of her kennel.
Right.
And he, even if he doesn't demand, usually he wants to go out, but even if he doesn't want to go out, he's really a restless sleeper and kind of wants to play in the middle of the night. And I'm a shadow of my former self at this point.
Yeah. Okay, so now you got the puppy in the kennel, but you got an adult dog outside of the kennel.
Yes.
Sleeping by that kennel?
Yes.
Okay, what kind of kennel do you have the puppy in? Is it a wire?
It is wire, and it's got like a sheet over the top of it, but he can see out.
Okay, because he sees the dog right there, that is what's going to probably spur him on not to settle down to try to interact with the other dog. Okay, let's back up a little bit. Okay, now the thing is that when you get a pup with an existing dog, The pup will bond to the existing dog and not to the humans if you don't take the steps correctly. And that means separate, you know, they come together a couple times a day to play, but otherwise the pup is on a leash with you. He goes separate walks, separate car rides. We feed in separate places. We don't want the pup to bond with the existing dog. And that sounds like that's what might be happening, is that he's more in, he's really, you know, he's a very aware of where that other dog is. And so he doesn't want to settle down, you know, for that, all right? Okay, so because usually when a dog, nobody's getting sleep where the pup is in a kennel, but it's like in the mudroom or whatever, and then they bring it to the bedroom, and usually all's right with the world. Now, but it's the problem with the sheet, okay? The problem with the wire kennel, dogs are denning animals. They want their back covered. That's just the way they are. They want to live in a cave. Now, the problem with the wire ones is that they are very tinny noise when they move. You know, dogs can hear 300 times better than we can. And so every time they move, just think of that jiggle in your ears, you know. And then also by putting a sheet over, it's not exactly a tent. You know, there's not the calmness of solidness around, all right? And then also they eventually learn to pull it through and eat it. But my suggestion would be to either... I'm a big pro advocate of the plastic kennels. The only other thing is that you could put it like, well, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg nowadays, 3/4-inch plywood, and put it on top. Push the kennel to a corner, and then put 3/4-inch something heavy on top, because that will help with the rattling. All right. Mm-hmm. So take something heavy and put it on top. And so then, so now you got the back covered, you got the other side covered because it's in a corner. Okay, then you got the one side and the front side. The other side, what I would do is at least half of that side should be covered somehow, whether you take a piece of cardboard or whatever. But so the dog has more of a feeling of being in, you know, kept like by a cave. So he feels more relaxed is what I would say. All right. Yeah. Is there any way that you can keep the existing dog on the other side of the bed, or... You got a walk-in closet. You can put the puppy, you know, because you don't want the. Now, where does that existing dog sleep? Right next to that kennel?
Right next to my bed, and also adjacent to the kennel.
Okay, so the pup can see the pup dog, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, let's try turning it around so the pup can't see him.
Okay.
Let's try that. Because now, back up as far as does your existing dog and the pup spend a lot of time together?
They do.
Yeah. So you got to not do that right now, all right? Because, okay, because the thing is what happens is that when the existing dog, when the pup bonds to the existing dog, let's say the pup and the existing dog is playing, okay? Then when you walk into the room, obviously the existing dog is bonded to you. She's going to come racing to you without even being called, okay? So that dog will come racing to you like, hi, mom. And then the pup will come because he's in tow following the other dog. He'll greet you like, hi, but then he'll quickly turn to the existing dog and go, okay, we said hi, let's go play. He's not going to be when you know the pup is bonded to you, when they both vie for your attention and the pup doesn't even look at the dog trying to vie for your attention. They're just, mom. All right. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. And so that's why tie the pup to you by way of a leash so the pup is always with you. And then, like I say, very limited time. And you'll know, like I say, the bonding has completed when they do play. That the pup vies for your attention like your existing dog does and doesn't just say hi and then go back to the existing dog. All right. And so that's why it's very important, because otherwise that pup is going to be, where's the other dog? Where's the other dog? Where's the other dog? And so that's why it wakes up and sees the other dog and it's just kind of like, okay, let's play. Let's go do something. You know, I mean, he wants to get to the existing dog. He's not just want to settle back down. Now, a pup that age, if it goes to bed between 9-10, it might wake up between 1-2 and then 5-6. Those are the normal times. And if you do take him out to go potty, you don't say anything. You don't talk to the dog. It's just like us waking up and having to go potty. If nobody turns on a light, nobody talks to us, we shuffle to the bathroom and then we shuffle back and we can go back to sleep fairly, you know, quickly. But if somebody flicks on a light or somebody talks to us, all of a sudden it's like, oh, darn. And so that's what you, the, the, that's the thing with the pup. It's same thing, you know, when you take, if you have to, if he wakes up at that time, then you just shuffle out and then you shuffle back. You don't say anything, you don't pet, you don't do anything. You just out, done, and in, and go back to sleep again. All right?
Okay.
And so that's the main, what food are you feeding the pup?
He's on a Nutrisource large breed puppy.
Okay, good, good, good. Are you rehydrating it for him?
I am not.
Okay, I would try that. Because sometimes, too, when a dog is upset, like during the night or whatever, it seems antsy, it's their gut. And so what happens is the puppies, you know, they don't, their teeth start leaving at four and a half months. And to chew those nuggets, sometimes they have a hard time to break down the food. And sometimes they just throw it down, all right? Can you hold on? We're going to come back. We got to do a break, of course, okay? So hold on. Don't hang up. What color is a flamingo when it's born? We'll be back. All right, here we go. We got callers waiting, so I don't want to keep them any longer. All right, what color is a flamingo when it's born?
White?
Nope.
Oh.
Gray.
Gray, okay.
The shrimp and algae they eat dye their feathers pink.
Okay.
Isn't that something?
That is
I love
something.
Flamingos.
Me too. Big,
I started out with a joke, whereas when I was camping, everybody said, well, how do we know what campsite's yours? So you know those pink flamingos on that you stick into the ground?
Yes.
I got like eight of them. And so I said, wherever you see the pink flamingos, that's where I'm at. I mean, it's what different that you can't see one. But when you got eight flamingos around here, you know.
Then people can find you.
Yep. And ever since then, it's been, you know, everybody sees a cute flamingo, I get it. So.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on back to
Sue.
Hey, Sue, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. So see, also too, sometimes it's just like with people that don't sleep well, if their digestive system isn't well, just because the food isn't being processed right. With the puppies, you know, because their teeth start falling out about four and a half months to get their adult teeth in, they don't chew really well, or they slam the food and they got some gut aches, and then that makes them restless. I tell everybody with dry food, rehydrate it for them, especially puppies. If you're having loose stool problems and such like that, you put the food which you're going to feed in a bowl, and then you put hot tap water on it till it all floats nicely, and then put it aside. Put it, you know, so that the cat doesn't get it or the dog does. I put it in my stove. Don't turn on the stove. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then non-grain free, which is puppy food, it rehydrates in about a half hour. And so then when I'll take it out and then I fluff it and then I feel the kibble and it should be pretty near soft to the center. I put my supplements in. I would strongly suggest a probiotic and a digestive enzyme because the pups go through a lot of stress between being weaned, going to regular food, leaving mom, leaving the litter mates. Who are you? Where am I, Matt? Vetting, dewormed. And a lot of times that causes just stress in their system, and then they, you know, like I say, so we got that problem. So that will help that. So rehydrate the food for the pup, all right? If your day is really like a half hour, I got to wait a half hour. Okay, well then make dinner, breakfast, and breakfast at dinner. Put it in a Pyrex dish, cover it. Don't put it in the fridge. Put it someplace where nobody can, the dog or the cat can't get to it. Then when you get home or whatever, open it up, fluff it up, put your supplements in, and now feed it. Okay. And so I think that might help too. So between making the kennel less noisy, turning it around so the pup can't see yours, you know, the pupper. And then, like I say, I would try if you not a sheet, you know, it's got to be something heavy on top to take the rattling noise out. If you can shove it in a corner, that's even better. And then maybe take a cardboard because wood is so expensive, you know, and then box it, you know, around it. So you're actually shoving the kennel into something so it feels more cave-ish to the dog. Mm-hmm. All right. And so hopefully maybe the dog will like that, you know, feel more comfortable and more relaxed, and then you'll get some sleep, okay?
I hope so. Thank you very much.
Okay, kiddo. Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah, it's huge, guys. Everybody's using wire kennels, and folks, dogs are denning animals. The majority of them have a hard time with that. It has to do with the personality of each dog. But the majority of dogs don't like them. They feel like they're vulnerable to the surroundings, and it makes a lot of noise. Put your head in there. Well, if you can, if you have one for a Chihuahua, your head may not fit in there. But anyway, and just bump it with your shoulders. You'll be really surprised how teeny that is. It's just, it's craziness. Okay, who's up?
We have Sherry, and her dog barks at everyone.
All right. Hey, Sherry, how you doing?
I am well. How are you?
Good, good. What kind of pupper do you have?
Oh, we have a mix. We have a, she's Basset Hound, Shepherd, and a Lab mix. She's 4 years old.
And how many pounds?
A lot. 50?
50, okay. And so then now, have you done any training with her?
We haven't.
Okay. And so now what, when you say he barks a lot, well, you're outside and barking or barking from inside to outside, what are we doing?
Yeah. So when someone pulls into the driveway, someone comes into the house, and it can be somebody she knows really well or somebody brand new, she barks and barks. If we go for a walk and she sees another person, mm-hmm. another dog, okay. it's just barking and barking. And she's got that Basset Hound yeah. super loud. And she looks like she's growling at you. I mean, she looks pretty ferocious, but I feel like she's not upset. She wants attention, but mm-hmm. it's too much.
Okay. How long have you had her?
3 years, 3.5 years.
Okay. What have you, when she barks, what do you do?
So, I mean, we tell her it's okay, go lay down, you know, talk to her. She's, whoever is coming in the house, pets her on the head. And then just kind of goes about their business.
Okay.
If we're outside, I've gotten nervous bringing her, you know, for walks. I used to think it was me because mm-hmm. I was at home more over the last year and yep. would take her. Mm-hmm. And so I thought maybe she was being really protective of me. But mm-hmm. no one walks, it's the same thing. And we just say, oh, it's okay.
No, it's not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. And it's not okay. The dog is barking. At what? Air? Butterflies? No. They can look. Right. They don't need to hear. I don't need to hear about it. If somebody's knocking on the front door, I need to hear about it, you know? But otherwise, if we're going for a walk, it's, hey, you can look, but, you know, let's keep those lips zipped. See, the thing is that's what happens a lot of times. Owners enable what's going on. You know, if the dog was with mom and annoying mom, what would mom do is take her teeth around the neck, squeeze, and the pup would yelp like, I'm sorry. Okay, mom. I was slowly let go, and then the pup would back out and go, okay, got the message. Now, that's why if you give the dog a growl, like, quiet, the dog's going to be like, okay. Because if the mom taught, if I listen to the growl from mom, a.k.a. the correction will not come, a.k.a. her teeth around my neck or an air snap at my face. Okay, now obviously us humans are not going to, you know, grab the pup around and we're not going to do an air snap. So what's going on is you are enabling the dog. You don't have boundaries or rules. There are no consequences for the actions. It's not me master you dog, but what it is to be able to follow through if the dog doesn't listen. You know, so let's say we're in the house and the dog barked because somebody came at the door. Good. Once I see who it is, before I open that door, I'm gonna turn to the dog. Your job is done. Now I have this. Quiet. If the dog quiets, thank you. And I'm gonna keep the dog on a leash, so I've got control of the situation. Because that dog, the minute I say quiet, that dog should say, okay, you got it. You're the leader. No problem. I'm done. And so that's why, you know, doing some kind of obedience training, teaching words and what they mean. And remember, dogs mm-hmm. don't do things for us out of love. What they do things out of respect and trust. Respect and trust that we have earned. And that's by following through with our rules. Whereas if the dog doesn't, if you could say the growl and then quiet or enough, and then if they don't, you blast them in the face with the water. Quiet. As soon as they quiet, oh, thank you. Very nice. Thank you. Don't say good boy or good girl. That gets them all nutsy in the headsy. It spurs them on, all right? It's like saying, recess, we don't have to think. Anyway, so you've got to put down, there's consequences for the reactions. Now, when you take the dog for a walk, do you use a harness or a training collar?
Harness.
Yep, and a harness restrains, it doesn't train. You want to do some training, then you get yourself a training collar the dog will listen to, a.k.a. the Star Mark collar might work for this particular personality. It's a plastic collar with little plastic, like little pyramids on the inside of it.
And you know,
a Star Mark, S-T-A-R Mark. You can get it online. But anyway, you know how if I want your attention, I poke you? You don't give it to me, I poke you harder. And then you look at me like, what? What do you need? Okay. Now, this is the word I need you to learn. This is a consequence should you blow me off. And so that's why, like, one of my beginner one start here classes, it's a one-time hour and a half. That might benefit you a lot to get you organized and see it how the dog sees it. You know, a big thing is, like, okay, the dog is barking outside. We stick our head out and go, knock it off, quiet! And the dog turns and goes, hey, you like yelling too? Let's yell together. Okay?
Right, yeah.
So what you want to do is you got to teach them the word quiet. There's a time to bark and there's a time to zip it, please. I appreciate it. And then if they don't, there's a consequence. And that's why if you get that spray bottle like at Wally World in the travel section, they're 99 cents. Put water in it. fill it with water, set it on stream, carry it with you. And then, like I said, you could practice like in the house. Have somebody walk by at a certain time or whatever. Quiet. If they don't, blast. Quiet. As soon as they quiet, thank you. Don't pet. Just very nice. Thank you. And then don't wait for them to do it again and say, hey, where's your ball? Let's go. Where's dad? Where, you know, get redirect the dog onto something else, the attention. Just don't stand there and wait for the dog to react, because he probably will until he gets his, you know, poop in a group. Listen, sure. Learning words and what they mean. But that my one time start, beginner one start here class would really, it's a one time hour and a half when we go over, walking on, get the right training collar on, walking on a leash, door manners when guests come over, when you come home, and the come. And so the big thing is that we just got to show you what is, you know, how to do it correctly. But harnesses restrain. You just get really good at holding. Now, let's say I put a harness on a mastiff, like a 200-pound mastiff. You know, that dog better have his ducks in a row or you're going to be flattened on your face, right? But, you know, somehow we get really good, or people get really good upper body strength by restraining the dog. And also, too, let's say the dog's, you're out walking. Now, you let him scan in front of you, correct?
Yep.
Okay, so he's in front, he's a leader, you're in back, you're the peon. Now you're right, putting him out in front to do the scanning and to be reactive to whatever. Don't worry, Mom, I got this. I got your back. You know, I'm the leader here, you're the peon, I'll take care of this mess. Mm-hmm. Okay, so whereas
keeping right your side then.
You need him to walk loose leash on your side. Loose leash. Because a lot of times if people have been having trouble on walks, the minute the dog head goes up to acknowledge either a person or a dog, and especially if they have a harness on, they tighten up on the leash, expecting a reaction so that you could hold them in so there isn't a problem. And that message, which you tightening the leash, sends through to the dog that there's a problem and he needs to be reactive because you ain't doing anything about it. And so now what you're doing is the dog's not protecting you. He's reacting that he feels you're upset and you're not a very good leader, so he has to step up to the plate.
And so that's
why you've got to show him it's not me, master, you dog. What it is these are the consequences. These are the words I need you to use or learn. And if you listen to the word and learn, then we don't have the consequences. And so whether it's a training collar or whether, you know, it's a zap with the water bottle full of water, okay, in the face, you know, blast, quiet. And remember your voice. High pitch, you're happy. Low, slow tones, you're ticked. Mm-hmm. You can go up to a dog and go, what a bad dog. And the dog's like, oh, she loves me. And then you can come up, what a good dog. And the dog is like, I am so screwed. So right. That's why the fluctuation of your voice is in everything. And so then, no dog is too old to learn new things. At any given time, if you lost your dog and I found him, he'd have to learn my rules and what they mean. And so that's all it is the dogs are held back by the owners that allow things to happen, and then it starts getting worse and worse, and all of a sudden you got a mess on your hands. And so that's right. What, yep. And so then all by just reorganizing, getting you organized, getting the dog organized, all of a sudden everybody loves everybody and everybody understands words and what they mean.
Awesome. Yes, I was looking into that, so I'm going to do that and come on in and see you.
That'd be great, because like I say, right, in the meantime, I would try the Star Mark collar. And what it is that you just give it a pop, a bump. Don't pull. You're used to pulling. Everybody using harnesses are used to pulling. And all that does is restrain. And so he's got to give the leash a pop, a snap, a jerk. You know, it's just the quickness. It's not the muscle behind it. It's the quickness of it. And then the dog's like, what do you need? What do you need? You should never feel the dog, you know, that you have with him. And also, too, when you're walking, the hook of the leash should be resting on the back of the dog's shoulders or alongside. You shouldn't even feel you got a dog with you, that they're paying attention. They understand what the rules are. All right. Okay, kid. Good luck. Train on.
Wonderful. We'll see you soon. Thanks so much.
You bet. Take care. Bye-bye. All righty then. What is a kakapo? A kakapo. K-A-K-A-po. What is a kaka? It's either coco, kaka, kakapo. Kakapo.
Okay.
Whatever. We'll be back. All right, we're back. Thank you for sharing your Sunday afternoon. I'm really glad that it's yucky today and not like yesterday is not today. It would have been really hard to come to work.
Well, that's like yesterday when I was at work. I was like, I can't wait to get out there. Even though I love my shows, but still.
Yeah, same here. But I'm looking outside. It's like, okay, I can handle this being inside here. Okay, what is, I think it's K-A-K-A pose, kakapo or kakapoo, whatever. What do you think it is?
I'm going to say it's a type of bird because the other questions were about birds.
Oh, okay. That's it's a parrot. This parrot cannot fly. Jody called in, did she? She helped you.
No, I was waiting. I thought she would call about that one.
Okay, it's a parrot. This parrot cannot fly. To stay safe, the kakapo, whatever, stays in its nest in a hole in the ground or under a tree during the day and only goes out at night. So it'd be cool. I don't know what it looks like. We'll have to Google it.
You told me how I could Google it, but I didn't this time. So
okay. Then, well, you can check it out when you got time over there. K-A-K-A-P-O.
Okay.
K-A-K-A-P-O.
Okay.
Okay. There you go. Okay. Where are we at?
We have Wayne, and Wayne is planning on getting another cat and has questions about that.
All right. Hi, Wayne. How you doing?
Hi. Doing well.
Good, good. You got one cat or two? How many cats you got now?
I just have 1 2-year-old male cat.
Male cat. Okay. And then what are we getting another cat because you want one or are you thinking he needs a buddy?
So I'm moving into a new apartment soon, like in about a week or so. Mm-hmm. And I have this cat who is very sociable. A little background. I did adopt him with his sibling who we then had to separate them just due to life issues.
Okay.
But so I'm thinking about, because I live at my parents' right now, and there's another cat around that he kind of messes around with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to move into a new apartment with him. It's just going to be me and him. And I'm just wondering, worried about him getting lonely and stuff, if he even will get lonely.
Okay. Cats are independent. They are not a herd or, you know, you mean like horses or dogs or anything like that. They are very independent. They just assume to stay. They have their territory. And some cats are more social than others. Depends on their personality. But cats love being by themselves. And then when their humans are around, you know, with this pandemic, I bet you every cat needed therapy because their humans wouldn't leave. And so it's just like, take me away from here. And so that's why, because you don't know how it's going to go. Being that your cat is used to another cat, it can go fairly smooth because he's had two other cats, right? The one he came with and then your parents' place, right?
Yes.
Okay. But now the cat you're going to get, now you're thinking about getting a kitten or an adult dog, a cat?
Probably a kitten.
Okay. Like I said, double the fun, double the trouble. Female cats are more, now I'm really lucky with Adeline, but out of all the female cats, and boy, I've had a lot of them, only two, Raja and Adeline, are the two that are just literally just very social, really is endearing, not as aloof as most female cats are, more independent and aloof. And they will come and sit on your lap when they want to, but like my Adeline, she'll just, the kids now landed yesterday, and I was really hoping that she wouldn't even be terrified. And you know, they're carrying her around like she's a wet noodle. But that's a rarity in a female cat. And because usually they're the hunters. I mean, just like lions, they're part of the cat family, right? And so lions, the male just lays around and the female does 90% of the, you know, the hunting for everybody. And that's the same thing in domestic cat, is that the females are really good hunters. Even though I've got one, my cat with a K, he's really good. Boy, I'll turn my head and next time I turn, he's got a mouse in his mouth. It's like, whoa. But anyway, so the thing is, we're not sure. You don't know who's going to get along with who. That's the thing. When cats is a little bit more iffy than dogs. And so if you're going to get a kitten, you know, but then like I said, the kitten, the adult cat, you got to, you know, supervise them. When you leave, then the kitten should be in a kennel or in a separate room than the adult cat at the beginning here, okay? And so that, but like I said, to get a cat for a cat, I never suggest that. I think the cat would just love to, when you get home, you know, spend some time with them. You know, whereas chasing a feather or doing the Dahlberg or, you know, the laser or whatever type thing. And that if you guys got a special relationship, I just hang on to that special relationship. Unless you come across a cat that is just, you could tell by the personality, it's just a very easygoing, laid-back cat that probably will get along together with another cat. Because not all cats will get along. And then you get spraying and you got this and you got that. And now you're tearing your hairs out and life was so much easier. Being that you're moving out, I would wait a little bit till you hit a beat at your new place because it's going to be an adjustment for your cat. now to go to a new place. Give him a couple months to adjust and then just see how things are going. And then, you know, if you want to still, but don't get a cat for a cat. Only get a cat if you want one. All right. Same with, we don't get dogs for dogs. We only get a dog if you want another dog. Okay.
Got it.
Because even, because then mentally, because mentally you'll be just crushed if the cats don't get along. Well, wait a minute. I got you a buddy. And what do you mean you don't like them? It's just like two-legged siblings. Just because they're brought up doesn't mean they're going to get along.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, so
okay, cool. Yeah, and I, you know, I work from home anyway, actually. So, like, he will have someone around all the time. So, if having another cat isn't exactly something that cats normally need.
No, they don't. No, no. Most cats just love. They'd rather be an only child. But if they're brought up, you know, like within other ones, like let's say somebody had a litter of kittens, which I can relate to a long time ago, and all the kittens never leave. Yeah. They just grow up at our house. Then they're used to being more in, you know, accepting of other spaces, you know, type thing. But like I said, cats are very territorial. And like I said, every cat, every personality of cat is different. Some will accept a new one and some won't. But there again, yours may be good, but the one you got, you thought was going to work, and all of a sudden, all hell's breaking loose. And if you're around, my goodness gracious, you know, I'm sure the cat spends time with you, but he also goes off to him by himself, kind of like, yeah, I need a break from that dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So just think about it. But I would land in your new place first for a couple months, hit a beat there, you know, for both of you, and then, you know, have a discussion and figure out what you're going to do. Okay?
Will do. Thank you so much.
You bet, kiddo. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. Yeah. Remember, we never rule a thumb. Never get a dog for a dog. Never get a cat for a cat, or a guinea pig for a guinea pig, or a rabbit for a rabbit, or can't speak on the reptiles because I know nothing about them. And birds, I can't speak for that because I know nothing about them. I just know that parrots, I've always been fascinated by the parrot world. Mm. It still blows my mind that they, what they can are capable of.
Yes.
And then their longevity, how long they live, 50, 60 years.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I'm not talking about the parakeets.
Sure.
I'm talking about like the true parrots, you know, like the Amazon, the yellow, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, my, in front of me, Harvey's first girlfriend was into that. She had an aviary. And I got that, you know, the cockatoos, the Beretta. You probably don't know who Beretta is. The cockatoos, the one with the big white head, the big comb on top.
Yep.
You see them a lot of times in movies and that, and the different stuff they can do. Fascinating. I was just fascinated by the parrots she had. She used to raise them by hand.
Okay.
And then because they're worth a lot more money because then they've been, you know, raised by humans. So then, I mean, those beaks hurt. Don't tick off a parrot. I'll tell you that. But don't move fast. But yeah, so
I'll try to remember.
Yeah, I totally was enamored by it. But yeah, no, that's, I stuck with dogs and horses and of course cats and goldfish.
And you know some things about rabbits.
Oh yes, rabbits. Yes, I've had lots of rabbits. Yep, lots of rabbits. Rabbits. All right, but yeah. Oh well. So remember that. Please don't get a cat for a cat. And it is harder to blend two cats. Now dogs. Two females have a harder time getting along than two males or a girl and a male and a female. Kind of like in the human world, females can be a little witchy to each other, a little full of drama. Not all memory has to do with the personality. Oh, well, okay, give a holler, 651-641-1071. Why do frogs close their eyes when they swallow? We'll be back.